Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking all things NFL. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic. Sheil, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us. And, Sheil, let's start where most of the conversation is this week in the NFL, and that is with Urban Meyer and the situation going on with he and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I guess, number one, what's been your reaction to this Urban Meyer story, and what do you think this means in terms of his future in the NFL and his future with the Jags?
Well, it's been a disaster from start to finish. I mean, let's be honest. In some ways, it's, you know, I didn't think this was going to go well, but in some ways, for it to be this bad and this downward spiral through 4 weeks of the season, I mean, the efficiency, the speed is all, you know, in some ways, it's a little bit impressive. I don't know that I've seen this with a coach before. I mean, think about this. We're 4 weeks into his tenure, and the team has already had to release two statements. One after week one, saying that Urban Meyer is committed to the organization and not leaving for USC, where he was rumored to be a candidate. And then after week four, where anytime your name is in like a headline across news sites saying, you know, coach apologizes for viral video at bar, I mean, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing 4 weeks into your tenure. And then the owner has to release a statement saying that the coach has to regain his trust. So the Jaguars were in a position this offseason where I thought they just needed to not overthink it, just get a competent, safe head coach, a competent, safe GM. You've got a great quarterback prospect coming in. You've got draft capital. Don't screw it up. But they did screw it up. And this has been a franchise that has been really a disaster for like the last decade plus here, where they had one good season. Every other season, they can't even win six games. So I don't think it's going to end well. If you told me Urban Meyer's not going to be the head coach by Halloween, that would not shock me, but we'll kind of see how it goes here in the weeks ahead.
I think Rex Road is having some mute issues. We'll get back to him here in just a second. So, Sheil, with that in mind, obviously the Titans 2-2 to begin this season so far, and you've got, you know, a lot of injuries. They've got 21 guys on their injury report heading into this week against the Jags. What have you made of the Titans so far? As you looked at them in the preseason, did you consider them to be among the big threats in the AFC to the Kansas Cities and the Buffaloes of the world?
Yeah, I thought they had the upside to be sort of a surprise team. I certainly thought they were the favorites to win that division. You know, I just think it's been an uneven performance so far. You mentioned it with the injuries. You go into that game last week, you don't have the wide receivers. Their offensive line has been inconsistent when you look at how often Ryan Tannehill was under pressure there. And so you combine those things with the change at offensive coordinator. And I guess it's not, you know, shocking that they would get off to a little bit of an uneven start here. You know, I think their formula was always going to be build a top five offense and then try to get by on defense. You know, if you can get kind of a mediocre defense, that would probably be enough to get you in the mix. So I'm not giving up on them so far. You obviously haven't seen it on either side of the ball with the consistency that you would like, but they do have this sort of luxury of being in that division where, you know, I don't know how many wins it's going to take to win that thing, but the Jags and Texans certainly look like two of the worst teams in the NFL, and then the Colts, I'm not buying them so far either. So it might not be as pretty as it's been in years past, like last year where they just feels like they're scoring 30, 35 points a game and things are coming easy to them. It might be a little bit tougher than that, but I think once they get healthy, I would still think they're going to win that division.
Okay, I've moved to like sit like inches away from my router, so let's see if that works.
I thought so, I just left you speechless with how good my Urban Meyer
probably was.
You know, I thought, yeah,
it was very, very good, Sheil. So speaking of Sheil takes, I see a spicy one in your piece that you just tweeted out today. I love these recaps that you go around the league, including teams that shouldn't panic. Steelers should, Panthers shouldn't, but I see the spicy take that the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. I must say, I didn't think anyone would say that seriously this season at all, but I'm kind of with you. But still, I'm sure some people are going to be upset about that because they hate the Cowboys so much. So explain on the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's most years the Cowboys get overhyped, and you're saying, why is everyone talking about the Cowboys? Why am I turning on my TV and the Cowboys, they're talking about the Cowboys, they're irrelevant, you know, what's going on here? But this year it's different because if you watch that Cowboys team, I mean, it is a blend of a quarterback who's playing at such a high level in Dak Prescott. I mean, I don't know that there's been a more accurate quarterback just from a passing perspective in the NFL this season, and he's got such command at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's outsmarting every defensive coordinator he faces on a weekly basis. And then the play caller there, Kellen Moore, has been outstanding as well, where they're setting stuff up in the first quarter. They come back to it later in the game, and they're really catching defenses off guard. And the supporting cast is very strong with their wide receivers, their running backs, and their offensive line has been very good. So, you know, not unlike the Titans, their formula this year was pretty similar. It was, hey, let's build a top five offense and a mediocre defense, and we can that will probably be enough to get us in there as a Super Bowl contender, because we've seen that formula work for teams in the past, and they've really done that. Now, it's only been 4 weeks, but that defense has been much better than I anticipated. I thought it was going to be one of the worst defenses in the NFL. It's been much more in sort of that mediocre range, and the offense has been consistent and lights out. So, yeah, I think right now they actually are a Super Bowl contender in the NFC.
Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Sheil, obviously, we know what Mahomes and company can do offensively for the Chiefs. It has been a struggle on the defensive side of the ball for Kansas City so far. How concerned are you about this Kansas City defense that maybe that could be the downfall for the Chiefs this year?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to sort of put too much stock into it because you sort of feel like they're going to be there in the end, and if they can just figure some things out, you know, even if it's December, that's probably going to be fine for them. They're still going to be playing in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl because the quarterback and the offense are that good. But this defense is different than their defenses in the past. I mean, by every statistical metric, they have been the worst defense in the entire NFL. I mean, if you watched that game last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Eagles drove into Chiefs territory on every single possession. They did not punt that entire game. And that, trust me, that Eagles offense is not a juggernaut of an offense. They had really struggled the previous 2 weeks. So I think the concerns are valid. I would give them some time, see if they get some guys healthy. You know, Frank Clark has not been on the field for them. Tyrann Mathieu missed the first game for them. So I think they really need to find themselves and figure some things out. Now, if they have the worst defense in the NFL in December, then yeah, that's going to be a concern because there are some, you know, good teams in the AFC that could beat them in a shootout. But if they can just get a little bit better, they don't have to be a juggernaut defensively. They just need to be sort of opportunistic and competent. Then I think they'll, you know, there won't be too many concerns. They'll still be one of the best teams in the league.
Well, let's stick with AFC defenses, Sheil. You have a stat that the Browns pressured Kirk Cousins on 46.3% of his dropbacks, which is fourth best. I was astounded to see the score at Minnesota that the Vikings scored 7 points against that defense. How good is it? And as everybody cringes in Nashville, how much of a part of that is Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, he played really well last week, and really on the season, he's been very disruptive. You know, I know people are tired of others saying, hey, it doesn't always show up in the box score with Jadeveon Clowney. Sometimes that's been true. Sometimes it hasn't been true. It has been true this year. That front four for the Browns, in my opinion, has been the best in the NFL over the first 4 weeks of the season. I mean, Myles Garrett looks unblockable, like the defensive player of the year right now. What he's doing to opposing left tackles has been really fun to watch. Clowney has been disruptive. They signed Malik Jackson, you know, this sort of under-the-radar free agent at defensive tackle. He's been very good. Malik McDowell, who the Seattle Seahawks drafted in the second round, he had an ATV accident. He didn't even play for them. It looked like he was going to be out of the league. Well, all of a sudden, the Browns take a flyer on him, and he's making an impact. So that Browns organization, you know, they knew this offseason that they really needed to add talent on the defensive side of the ball, and that's really what they did. And so far, again, it's only been 4 weeks, but so far it's looked like their moves have worked. And I'm with you. I thought that Vikings offense had really been moving the ball through the first 3 weeks of the season, and they just kind of completely shut them down and then took over that game late.
Sheil, last thing for you here. Here we sit 4 weeks in. The Arizona Cardinals are undefeated. Are you a buyer? Are you a believer in this Arizona Cardinals team?
Yeah, they were one of the toughest teams to project coming into the season, because if you look at it last year, the first half of last year, their offense was really good, and you thought, wow, it looks a lot like we expected with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. But then in the second half of the season, they really had a bottom 10 offense. Now, Kyler Murray injured his shoulder last year around week 8, but he was still playing. So you wonder, well, is it his shoulder or is it something where they're just kind of regressing to the mean here? And, now we can look at it this year and say, well, it was probably his shoulder, because he has been lights out. He's my MVP so far. I mean, he's doing stuff in the pocket, making unbelievable throws. And then when the plays break down and he's got to escape and make those second reaction plays, he's been doing those better than any quarterback in the NFL as well. So, yeah, to me, it's just a matter of if Kyler Murray's healthy right now, I'm saying I'm a buyer in that team. Now, he has to do maybe more than any other quarterback in the NFL right now, maybe outside of Patrick Mahomes. He really kind of puts that entire operation on his back. So if he does go, not only if he goes down, but if he's not 100%, then they are a team that you could see kind of collapse right away. But as long as he's feeling good and is relatively healthy, yeah, I think that offense is really tough to stop.
Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Sheil, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely, sounds good. Sheil Kapadia does great work for The Athletic, covering all things NFL. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Sheil had to say there. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub in Bellevue at 8058 Tennessee Highway 100 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. And Joe Rex Road, Sheil's buying the Dallas Cowboys as a legitimate Super Bowl threat. I got to say, they've looked pretty good so far. I think in terms of the very, very early conversation of NFL MVP, I think the two leaders in the clubhouse have to be Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott. Both have been extremely impressive so far this season.
Agree. Let's also remember a year ago that Russell Wilson was the lock to be MVP, even probably a couple weeks after this.
And this will change.
Yeah, this will change. But no doubt. I mean, I think both of them. I think that's the clear top two if you had to do it right now. I'm trying to think who third would be. I think Derrick Henry should be in the discussion. But, he plays for a 2-2 team, so that's not going to help. But if you want to talk about value, for sure. But, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It has been a while.
He is on pace for the all-time rushing record at the moment. So if he gets that done,
give him a chance.
I would hope that would at least put him in the conversation if you get the all-time NFL rushing record.
If he gets that done for a good team. If he gets that done in the midst of a very good season. That's got to be part of it. By the way, so what is up? So someone, just real quick, before we go back into sports, what's up with like Wi-Fi? So I'm alone at my home, okay? Yep. Like, how does Wi-Fi, there's no one else drawing up the Wi-Fi. I even turned my phone off the Wi-Fi. Like, how does that start glitching out at me all of a sudden at like 9 a.m.?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
Maybe you've just been really pulling in some extra work today. You brought it strong, and the Wi-Fi couldn't handle it anymore. I don't know.
I mean, I guess I could try to go back and sit at the desk, but right now the signal is strong, and it was giving me that weak little, fading out thing.
Yeah, you sound much better right now. No Robo Joe going on.
Yeah, before it I guess was I'll stay. Hello.
Yeah, there were some good ones.
How much of that was going on?
Not too bad.
It wasn't awful, but a significant amount the last two segments before you changed.
But now I'm holding this laptop, and there's an uncomfortably awkward closeness of my face to the screen. So, you know, for the viewers, maybe that's...
We can tell you're holding it. You're a little shaky.
That's right.
A little too much coffee, Joe. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, a little Blair Witch action for the viewers of Robbie and Rex Road.
That's right. So, Joe, I'm going to throw out my top five teams in the NFL right now. Here we sit heading into week five. Thursday night football underway tonight between the Rams and the Seahawks. As we sit today, my top five teams in the NFL. At number one, I have the Buffalo Bills at number one. Their offense has been outstanding. They are destroying people as of late, and they've got a date with the Titans coming up in a couple of weeks on Monday Night Football. I've got the Bills at number one. They did lose to the Steelers in week one, but they figured things out in a hurry since then. So I've got Buffalo at number one. Your reaction to the Bills? Michelle has already given me thumbs down.
They look very good. It's just, I don't know. It's also like they just played the Texans.
They did.
I think the Texans are going to make some teams look really good. It's also, I mean, they've had an interesting ride here for a month. You know, when you losing to the Steelers, like, how the heck does that happen? But, yeah, you know, the last three games, you're talking 35, 43, 40, Dolphins, Washington, Texans. I mean, it is impressive to put that kind of those numbers on the Dolphins and Washington. I mean, I think both those teams have legitimate defenses. So yep. I don't think it's I wouldn't agree, but I don't think that it's wacky.
Well, who's your number one team?
See, I knew you were going to ask that. And so who did I – so I had to do this. I had to do this week. I have to do it every week for The Athletic. We have to do our power rankings.
Yep.
And I legitimately – well, I tell you who I put number one. And, again, now I've been – actually, it's funny because I've kind of been off them.
Yep.
Even though I've seen them in person and they look great, I was still a little skeptical. But after seeing what they did to the Rams on the road, I went Cardinals number one, man.
Yeah,
they're playing good D too. It's totally overshadowed by Kyler Murray and that offense. But we did see them absolutely punk the Titans with their defense
yes.
in week one too. So, yeah, I think it's probably going to change. But right now, at this moment, the way they've played consistently, I think they've been the consistently best team in the NFL. I mean, they certainly got lucky to beat the Vikings. So that would have been, I guess, their stinker. And, you know, they kind of the Jaguars hung around with them too long. But that was also like a kick six was part of that,
yep.
you know. For the most part, they've been consistently dominant.
Yeah, I've got Arizona at number two. I've got Tampa Bay at number three. The Cleveland Browns at number four, and that dominant defense that we talked about with Sheil in the last segment. They've ran the ball pretty well this year with Chubb and with Kareem Hunt. Still not really seeing all that much from Baker Mayfield so far this year. And, you know, they do have the one loss to Kansas City in week one. But I've got Cleveland at number four. I really like their defense. I think they're going to be a very tough out in the AFC this year. Clowney, baby.
Well, and it is the classic. And the last week was, I mean, he had one tackle, but apparently doing exactly what they need him to do. Does he benefit from having like Myles Garrett on his team? Sure.
Probably
so. Who wouldn't? But I think, you know, so far you can see why they went and got him, and you can see how he actually can help a team if he's healthy, if he's playing, you know, his best football. He's still a weapon in this league defensively. I know some people in this market who are like, he's terrible and all that stuff. And, you know, that he never had any sort of positive impact last year. But again, even last year when he went out, they were even worse. And you're talking about worse from very bad. So I wondered if he might have a little bit of a bounce back year. I mean, he had the knee last year, and he certainly may well get hurt again. But I'm with you. I think Cleveland is a top five team overall, and we haven't seen that passing game really take off, and I think the ingredients are there for it to do so.
And then at number five, I have the L.A. Rams edging out my beloved Green Bay Packers. So I don't have the Packers in the top five. I've got the Rams at number five. I know they just lost this weekend against Arizona. That team still, to me, has been awfully impressive, and Matt Stafford pushing the ball down the field. I think gives them an element that they've not had. Still don't really like their running game, and at some point you're going to have to run the football if you're the Rams in order to win in the playoffs. So we'll see if they can get that figured out at some point this year. But I've got the Rams at number five, especially with the defense they bring to the table as well.
I think you've got the right five. I mean, I think my next team would be the Chargers. So
I can see that.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's like Chargers. You know, I think the Cowboys are also, and the Packers are, you know, are all making bids. But I mean, I think you've got the right five there. I'm not ready at all to be concerned about the Chiefs or the Bucks. And the Bucks haven't, you know, they got beat by the Rams pretty soundly, and then they didn't look great, but it's such a strange, hard game to judge anyone on that game.
They're going to be fine
because of all the, yeah, they're going to be just fine. But it's interesting. I mean, like, we actually have a shot here at both LA teams playing each other in their home stadium. Like, imagine if the Giants and Jets played that year when they made the terrible decision to have a Super Bowl in New Jersey.
It would be insufferable.
This could be too.
Could be.
Plus, you'd just be in New Jersey, which would
suck.
Well,
there's that too.
Yes, this will be in LA. It won't suck from that perspective.
That's right. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the NFL. Get back into the Titans. Is this a must-win game for the Titans coming up this week against the Jags? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ben, texting in, says 2 a.m. and 9 a.m. are the two peak times for internet maintenance companies. They say the least amount of people use their at-home Wi-Fi during that time. That's a possible explanation, anyway, of Rex Rhodes' Wi-Fi problems that he had earlier in the show. There you go, Joe. Maybe Ben's figured it out for you.
Okay, wait, I don't understand. Okay, explain that, though. How does that explain?
Well, it's saying, like, if you're at home, maybe the internet company at 2 a.m. and at 9 a.m., that's their scheduled maintenance time, because apparently they've determined, according to Ben, that those are the two least used times of at-home Wi-Fi usage. There you go.
So because other people are having maintenance done?
I don't know.
Well, a lot of people work from home now, so maybe.
I'm just telling you a theory that Ben has on the text line.
There's an overload.
Like, I appreciate the idea, Ben. Meanwhile, I'm just casually sitting here, you know, on the couch. I've got a different. I put it down. You can see the TV behind me.
Yeah,
kind of chilling here in the.
It's a good look.
You know, playroom.
That's right. Dennis texting in. Today is the 105th anniversary of my alma mater, Cumberland University, getting beat by Georgia Tech, 222-0. Yes. 105 years ago today, Georgia Tech with a 222-0 victory against Columbia. Cumberland.
That's outstanding. I think someone at the Athletic actually wrote something about that, like, in the last couple of years, like a total rediscovering the 222-0 win, but I didn't read it. I think I need to today.
Apparently they put it on SportsCenter this morning, and they Georgia Tech had like 948 rushing yards in that game, and Cumberland turned the ball over like 15 times. It's good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You don't need to help them with the turnovers, Cumberland.
That's right.
My goodness, that single win was rocking that day.
You talk about records in sports that are probably safe for all time. That one's got to be up there. Like the Gretzky 50 goals in 39 games and the 215 points and all this other stuff. Like, there are a lot of records, like Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak. A lot of things are probably safe in sports. The 222-0, I think, is up there in terms of sports records that are safe.
Well, I mean, all the ones you said before that, yeah, the Gretzky stuff's crazy. I mean, I don't think we'll see DiMaggio 56 get beat. Highly unlikely. Of course, we saw Pete Rose get to 44. We've seen some people get into the 40s, stuff like that. But, like, that's got to be the most untouchable one, right?
Yeah.
222 to nothing? Like, I mean, you know.
Although I will say, Georgia might have been able to take a run at that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, if Georgia was, like, if they decided to, like, keep in their starting quarterback and also, like, you know, try to preserve clock, yeah, you know, with their possessions, then yeah, maybe. And triple digits certainly was possible.
Yeah, I think so. So, Joe, this obviously a big game coming up for the Titans on Sunday. They sit at 2-2 after a horrible loss to the New York Jets. You've got all the Urban Meyer stuff floating around out there, all the distractions that Jacksonville's having to deal with. I mean, you should have seen Trevor Lawrence on that podium yesterday having to answer some of these questions about Urban Meyer. It's just got to be such an awkward position for him to be in. To me, there's no excuse for the Titans to lose this game to the Jags, even though they do have about half their roster on the injury report at the moment. I ask you, Joe Rexroad, is this a must-win game for the Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though we're only in week 5 this season? Is this a must-win for the Titans?
Yeah. And if you prefer my preferred term at this point, when, like, early in the season when you play a bad team, I like can't lose better than must-win. But it really means the same thing, right?
It does.
You cannot lose this game. You must win this game. It means the same thing. Yeah, you can't lose to the Jets and then turn around and lose to the Jags and then turn around and here's some Bills for you. Here's some Chiefs. Here's some Colts. Here's some Rams. It could get ugly. And just think about how, I mean, I think these guys, even like yesterday talking like Kevin Byard and Taylor Lewan and some of the guys who talked yesterday, look, they've been through, I guess maybe, to their credit, they've many times bounced back from losses like this or disappointments, been able to come back the next week. You know, to the discredit, like, you want to stop having those situations, but it's the NFL. You can explain away one real stinker of a loss or a Sunday. Everybody's going to have a couple bad Sundays in the course of a season, but you cannot have two in a row, and that's what it would take. It would take two just miserable performances in a row to lose this also. And I also think that the health situation, as bad as it looks, 21-4 on the injury report, like, by far the NFL leader on Wednesday, as we discovered earlier in the show, in guys on the injury report. It's, yeah, an astounding number on October 6th to have 21 guys. But even with that, it looks pretty good for A.J. Brown to come back. It looks better for Bud Dupree to come back.
Caleb Farley, full participant.
Yeah, and then I don't know how much that matters now. I think that definitely is a good thing potentially into the season. But for those, if you got those two guys, A.J. Brown and Bud Dupree, back, again, that should mean a lot. It should make a difference. I mean, I thought Bud Dupree ran well when he was playing the first 2 weeks and made some plays. Obviously didn't get sacks, but I mean, he sacks a lot of quarterbacks not named Kyler Murray in week 1. So that would be a big deal. A.J. Brown, just a huge difference for the offense. So even though it looks bad in the injury report cumulatively, there's some little nuggets of good news in there that could make this a better team Sunday.
Yep, and then we'll see about the offensive line as well with Ben Jones and Roger Saffold. Ben Jones dealing with a neck injury and Roger Saffold going through concussion protocol. Taylor Lewan with the toe injury, and then maybe an underrated one, Aaron Brewer dealing with a knee on the injury report as well. And what you don't want to have happen is Aaron Brewer can't play and then Ben Jones goes down in the game, which, let's face it, that's not outside the realm of possibility that Ben Jones could go down in this game. Then what do you do at center? I would assume it's Corey Levin at that point. But as we found out last week, Ben Jones being available to snap the ball, pretty important for this Titans team.
Yeah, look for, with Corey Levin, it may require a call-up, and it actually would be pretty advantageous for the Titans that they grabbed him when they did. I still would think he'd be an upgrade over Daniel Munier.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Dylan Radins in that scenario may have to play. I mean, look, Tyson Brilow may have to play. I don't know what Lawan – he didn't – I asked him what his injury was, and he just said he got rolled up on. But he had the toe going into last week. Then he was down. He was in pain. He had a big wrap on it. If that's turf toe, it's just a bad deal to have turf toe on either foot. But, like, the same, you know, leg that you have a surgically repaired ACL, if it's turf toe too, gosh – I mean, that's very limiting for a player at any position in sports. So that's probably the area of biggest concern overall. Ben Jones always seems to have something, was down for quite a while. It's a neck. That's not good.
Nope.
Aaron Brewer didn't participate at all yesterday. That's not good. Knee. So today, today is important. Injury report, what it says, who comes back, if anyone. And some of these guys, you kind of will get an idea, you know, that they're probably trending toward playing. But anybody who goes two straight DNPs on Wednesday and Thursday probably isn't.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD from Nashville texting in. I don't care how long the injury list is for the Titans. There are just some games where you wake up, show up, and beat their you-know-whats. Last week was one of those games, too, and so is this week. I hear you. Last week did not go that well for the Titans. Look. I think the Titans are going to win this game, and we'll get to, obviously, our picks tomorrow in Pigskin Pick'em. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that you're going to have to score a lot of points. Like, I can see a path where Trevor Lawrence and this offense for Jacksonville have a pretty good game against this Titans defense, and you're going to need Derrick Henry to be special like he typically is against the Jaguars, and it would be great to have A.J. Brown healthy as well. And to your point, underrated, would also be pretty great to have Marcus Johnson out there and available as well.
Absolutely. Marcus Johnson. I mean, if you have A.J. Brown, Marcus Johnson, and let's say like Darrington Evans is ready. I mean, maybe he's going to be like Marcus Johnson. It'd be another week down the road before he actually comes back. But that changes things. And all due respect to Jeremy McNichols, because he has been good. But I swear to you, Darrington Evans is talented. He can help this football team.
Take your word for it.
Yeah, but look, the Titans, the Jets were willing for this to happen. They came out and they were like, blow us out. That's what they – and it should have been 17 or 21 nothing, and it would have gone that way. And the Titans screwed it up. So I think the Jaguars, probably a pretty fragile football team, but you can't let them off the hook.
Shout out to Dennis Green. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, can't lose means you're allowed to tie. A must win means a win only.
Well, and they almost said they were playing the tie last week.
At one point, Titans fans were like begging for a tie, like, please make the field goal. We want a tie. Yeah, that'd be a pretty disappointing result, too, if you tie against the Jags.
The Titans could potentially be 2-1-2 after this week had Randy Bullock just made that field goal.
That's right. It was on the table.
Lost opportunity.
That's right.
We'll continue. That's a fair point, though, Ben.
That is true. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. NFL Week 5 is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. Thursday night, a great opportunity to give it a try. All you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Rams and the Seahawks tonight. Give me the over on Matthew Stafford's passing yards. Give me the over on DK Metcalf's receiving yards as well. And I like the Rams on the money line, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like these are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, safe, and secure, and you get your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB, so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Little Bleak 182 to close out the program here today. Joe Rexroad, big fan, as always.
Don't appreciate it.
We can't let the small things bother
don't
us,
like
Joe.
It.
That's right.
Yeah.
Weird
hey,
music
way,
video, though.
That shot.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I
I'll
hope
tweet
I never
later.
Saw it. No, thank you.
Yep.
Hey, real quick on the music front, by the way, I got two things in my email inbox just now. One, the Titans supplemental notes, which are always interesting, and
sure.
I'll read you a couple of those. But also, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nissan Stadium, August 2022, Strokes opening.
So you'll
be there. I
promise
you one person who will be there. Now, that's good music.
There
you
go. Very nice.
Why can't we jam some Red Hots coming in?
Tomorrow, Joe, tomorrow.
There you go.
All right.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shane from Ashland City texting in. Is it bad that I prefer 2-2 over 2-1-1? Yes, I would actually prefer 2-1-1. And I
yes,
look.
You're bad at math if that's your preference.
I hate ties, so I understand what Shane's saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there comes a point the other day where if you're a Titans fan, you're really pulling for Randy Bullock to make that kick, get you a tie.
I mean, it could be 10-6-1 versus 10-7, and the tiebreakers would have gone to the Colts, and that's why you won the division. So,
yeah,
yes, you want ties.
Dave and Big Rock texting in.
Well, you don't want ties.
Well, you don't want them. Dave and Big Rock texting in. How incredible are some of these posters Titans fans will be carrying to Jacksonville going to be on Sunday? I do not envy the cameramen who are going to have to dodge large sections of the crowd to keep said posters off of television. The memes are already legendary.
Well, like you said, was it you, Robbie? Like game day
For
this would be incredible.
Oh yeah,
it would be the most. I mean, game day would probably have to like blur out half the crowd.
Well, there's probably a
who
good
knows
chance
what kind of horrific things people would come up with.
There's probably a good chance they still like college game day on Saturday. There will be some Urban Meyer signs. I guarantee it.
That's a good point. Where is college?
I have no clue.
Iowa?
I have no clue, but there will be some Urban Meyer signs.
Well, especially because if it is Penn State, Iowa, there's two fan bases who hate Urban Meyer anyway, so you go.
Did you see the text we got earlier on the text line where I think it was Chris, and it may not have been. I need to go back and look and see who it was, where apparently the Jags broke down their team huddle yesterday with grind. Is that a real thing? That can't be real, right? One, two, three,
know,
grind!
But- please let it be true. Please let it
is
be true.
Is that just a thing they say? Is that a troll job? I'm really hoping that's true.
I mean, there's so many things you could do, like with like the Jaguars foam finger, you know? Like, there's just a lot of oh my gosh. I really hope that's true. We might need to get Mike DiRocco on.
Yeah, just get it back on.
That.
Can you tell us what they did at practice to break down the team huddle? Jordan.
One, two, three, grope.
Jordan texting in. The Jags are going to sell out to stop Henry and blitz the fire out of this patchwork line. Red zone efficiency will be the key. I certainly think the game plan is going to be to stop Derrick Henry. The Jaguars, up until this point, largely have not been able to do that. Although I will say, the first game last year at Nissan Stadium, I think he had like 25 carries for 84 yards. That's a pretty good job by the Jags. And then they gave up 220.
Yes, that's when they thought they were going to be competitive in 2020.
Yes.
To the point on Derrick Henry, so the Titans sent out supplemental notes, which are always very interesting. On Thursdays, I believe Dwight Spradlin gets credit. So here's a couple things. One is Derrick Henry, no big surprise, leads the franchise in rushing yards and in yards from scrimmage in the first four games of a season. He's better than Earl Campbell, Eddie George, anybody ever did. But this week, he can become the first player in NFL history with at least 150 rushing yards in four straight road games. He can break Earl Campbell's franchise record with his eighth career 150-yard road game rushing performance. And here's a really interesting one. He enjoyed Curtis Martin, 1995, speaking of Jets legends.
Yeah.
As the NFL's only players to get four straight road games with at least 175 scrimmage yards. So if he can get to 175 between rushing and receiving combined, it's Derrick Henry and Curtis Martin standing alone with that one. Also, he's looking for his seventh straight 100-yard game against the AFC South. So, in fact, that probably then would go back to the game you just referenced, right?
Yeah.
So the Jags were the last team to hold him under? Yeah. I would not have guessed that, see? Good stat.
We have video. Kyle has tagged us in a tweet on Twitter. Video of the Jaguars breaking down the team huddle, saying "grind." It's on video. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
I mean, that's fantastic. What a week. I hope. I really hope that like someone. You know, I mean, obviously that's an obvious. That's you know, grinding, and there's different definitions of the word, but I hope someone like whoever in the leadership like thought to do that just because they were also like trolling Urban. Oh, yeah. I want to believe that.
Me too. Kyle texting in says the Jags will win this week for Urban and all the injuries the Titans have. So this is going to be a rallying point among the players.
Yeah, if they win, I don't think you're going to hear anybody after the game say, yeah, this was for Urban.
We
this
won
was
one coaches. For the coach, buddy.
Yeah, probably not. We're with you, buddy. We know it was hard for you to be dragged out to that dance floor, and we just really wanted to win one for you.
I got a texter going back to the 222-0 win for Georgia Tech against Cumberland on this day 105 years ago. I got a texter that says it was 126-0 at the half, 180-0 at the end of the third. Georgia Tech called off the dogs and only put up 42 in the fourth. So only 42-point fourth quarter.
Like, man, the walk-ons must have had some stats that day, right? Like, well, I assume they emptied the bench.
I would assume so. Cumberland passing the ball, and I've got the graphic from ESPN in front of me. Cumberland passing the ball that day, 2 for 18, 14 yards, 6 interceptions, which means they also had an additional 9 fumbles.
To be fair, like in 1916, passing efficiency was not very good in football. Like it was like this huge actual lump of pigskin that you could barely grip. So,
oh, were you there to see it? That's cool.
Joe was covering the game.
Oh, wow.
Now, come on. It was on the newsreels in the 40s okay. When I went to the theater with my mommy.
Yes. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back with more thrilling content tomorrow at 6 a.m. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.